Welcome to the Vineyard Church of Greater Portland podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Mario Mastin. For more podcasts and other resources, please visit www.vineyardportland.org.
And I want to say this by way of introduction. To embrace the truth of God's empowering presence in Scripture, I want to start at the beginning. And by that, I mean not Genesis, but the first place in the New Testament where we get this description of this phenomenon called the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And in order to do that, we're going to go to one of the Gospels, and actually to the first of the Gospels. Not Matthew, but the first one that was written, which was Mark. We're going to go to Mark chapter 1, and we're going to see it's not some strange mystery only available to a select few. This is something for all those that are followers of Jesus. This is what John said that Jesus would do, and it is what Jesus has been doing from then until now, baptizing his disciples in the Holy Spirit. So the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a gift to every Christian, and that includes you and me. So what is the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Well, just as we saw a moment ago, it really is an immersion in the Spirit. Immersion is what it means to baptize. It's a promise from God. The Bible makes it clear in a short passage found at the beginning of the book of Acts, where Luke describes an incident after his resurrection, that Jesus' resurrection. This is what will happen. And this is what it says. On one occasion, while he, this is Jesus, was eating with his disciples, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift of the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John, now this is Jesus speaking, for John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. I want the Holy Spirit to baptize this lighting system right now. Go for it. The word baptize is from the Greek word baptizo, and it simply means to immerse, to submerge, or to overwhelm. That's the word that's being used here in Scripture. To immerse, to submerge, or to overwhelm. To be baptized in the Holy Spirit means the same. We are to be immersed or submerged in the Holy Spirit, overwhelmed by God's loving presence. You know, the word baptized was used to describe the process. Those of you that have been around here a while have heard me talk about this innumerable times when I've preached and taught on baptism. But let me rehearse that again this morning, because it's important in relationship to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The word baptized was used at the time that the New Testament was written, and even before, to describe the process by which a piece of cloth was dipped in a dye in order to change its color. As the cloth was dipped into the dye and the cloth would unite permanently, and the cloth would be forever changed to whatever the color of the dye was. And the word baptized was the action of dipping that cloth, submerging it, immersing it into the dye, so that when it came out, it had a different identity than it had before it went in. It was changed and forever would be. That word baptizo was also used in antiquity in two other ways to convey a similar idea of immersion or being submerged. It was used to describe putting a bucket down into a well, submerging it in water and bringing it back up. It was also used to describe a vessel, a boat, or a ship that might have sunk in the Mediterranean going down and then trying to bring it back up. So this word baptize that's used by the New Testament writers was a word used in everyday Koine Greek at the time of the New Testament, and it conveyed this idea of immersion, of being submerged, of being overwhelmed, which is why when we baptize, and this is, I'm not in any way being derogatory of other streams in the body of Christ, because I understand their rationale for why they do this. But we believe when you're baptized in water, as Jesus told us to be, we immerse, we submerge, we have the water overwhelm us, because that's what the word means. Now, we're talking about this in reference now, not to water baptism, but to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The goal of the Spirit is to unify our hearts with the Spirit of Christ. And it is only when we are completely dyed, D-Y-E-D, completely baptized with the Holy Spirit, that we can hope to become like Jesus, do what Jesus did, and have the courage to follow where Jesus leads. This is why we need the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Every single one of us. Doesn't matter how gifted you are, you need the baptism in the Holy Spirit. So the baptism of the Holy Spirit is an experience of God in which we become inseparable with Him. Now, let me just say this right now, because I have to do this. There are some differences out there in the body of Christ about the idea of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There are some different interpretations about this. So I'm going to just address those very briefly this morning. Because to have integrity in teaching this morning, I need to do that. So some see the baptism of the Holy Spirit as occurring at the moment of salvation, at the point at which a believer is baptized into the one body of Christ, which is another way of describing the church or God's people. And some believe that that's how the baptism of the Holy Spirit occurs, and that it may or may not be accompanied by a gift. Others believe that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is very much a second experience after conversion, and that is always associated with speaking in tongues. And then there's a whole another group in the body of Christ that believe the whole idea of the baptism in the Spirit and the way I'm describing it and all the gifts associated with the Holy Spirit's work in ministry actually no longer happens anymore. That ended at the time of the early church. So there's different perspectives out there in the body of Christ about what the Holy Spirit baptism means and whether it's even relevant for us today. And I would just say this before I go on to say the rest of what I'm going to say, hopefully with some degree of humility, that I would caution against making a formula out of the Spirit's baptism. Recognizing that Jesus said of the Holy Spirit, as we've looked at more than once in this series already, these words. Speaking of the Spirit, he said, "It blows wherever it pleases, like the wind. You cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going." And he said, that's the way the Holy Spirit operates, and that's the way all those born of the Holy Spirit operate. So I would just say this to you this morning, that we cannot confine the Holy Spirit to how he has worked in the past, nor can we predict how the Holy Spirit will work in the future. In other words, we cannot make a routine out of the person, ministry, and work of the Holy Spirit. We have to be really careful about what Weber called the routinization of charisma. The Holy Spirit cannot be contained in a box. The Holy Spirit cannot be confined to how he did something then, and we cannot predict how he will work in the future. We can't make a routine out of the person of the Holy Spirit, and to do so is actually absurd, really. We have an uncontainable, unpredictable God. Having said that, it's clear to me that the Bible intends for every Christian, just as much for the early disciples as for those of us today and those tomorrow and until Jesus comes back, to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. We do not believe as a church that this was something relegated to the first century church, and from now on we just get by with the Bible. We need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It is God's intention that each one of us should so be baptized. This is a special encountering of the Holy Spirit in surrender, it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to look the same for everyone in the way that it plays out, which is why I'm saying don't make a formula out of the way the Holy Spirit's going to move. When he immerses you in his presence, what happens in that moment may look a little different to how it happens when he immerses me in his presence. The key thing is the immersion in the person of the Holy Spirit. So while believers may have different perspectives on exactly what the Holy Spirit baptism means, and if you did a survey around the churches in the greater Portland area and came back to me, you'd have a lot of different perspectives on that. What I want to do is not focus on those differences. I want to focus on the unifying truth in Scripture that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is now a present reality for all believers. When it occurs, whether it comes with a specific gift or not, I believe the Spirit is an incontestable reality spiritually and a non-negotiable one experientially. I believe you cannot contest the reality of the Holy Spirit's baptism in Scripture, and it's non-negotiable if we're going to live a Spirit-filled life. So what we're talking about this morning is important. This is not a theological abstraction. This is about an experiential empowering with the presence of the living God that's necessary for us to live a Spirit-filled life and to do the things that God has entrusted to us. So what's the next question? Well, it's this. How do we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Well, to answer this question, I want to ask and answer another one quickly. Do you have, and I'm asking you this, and I'm asking myself this as well. So these questions are addressed to me as well as to you. But hear this morning. Do you have enough of the Holy Spirit in your life? Do you consider you have enough of the Spirit of God in your life? Are you as complete and empowered as you want to be? Do you want God to use you powerful beyond me kind of ways? In other words, do you want God to use you in ways that he could not use you apart from the enabling and empowering of his Spirit? Or are you done with being filled up with the Holy Spirit? With God's presence, his peace, his love, his power. The simple truth, I believe, this morning is that Jesus is looking for an open heart when it comes to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And with that baptism, gifts will follow. This is what the Holy Spirit does. Now, those gifts may come immediately, they may come progressively, but to a heart that is soft before the Lord and willing to receive from the Lord, God will bring filling and gifting. Remember that last week, we read the words that Jesus spoke at the Feast of Tabernacles, recorded in John chapter 7. I want to read those again this morning because they are relevant to this whole issue of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And this is what Jesus said on the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles, and he stood up and he made this public proclamation. And it's recorded this way by John. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice. So he wanted everybody to hear this. Notice that? He didn't say it in a whisper. He said it in a loud voice. He wanted this declaration to go out publicly for everybody to hear. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him or from within them. By this he meant, now here's John's editorial comment on Jesus' statement, inspired by the Holy Spirit, by the way. This is what John says. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet been glorified. The question becomes for each one of us when it comes to the baptism of the Holy Spirit is, are you thirsty? Am I thirsty? Do you want to be more empowered to live like Jesus? We have a choice about that. We can say, yes, I do, or no, I don't. He promised that we would be filled if we asked God for filling. As we saw last Sunday, the Apostle Paul makes clear in the letter to the Ephesians that as followers of Jesus, we are to be, using Paul's words, filled with the Spirit. And that this phrase literally means to be being filled. Filled, not filled. Filled. It's a present continuous action. Be being filled. In other words, to keep being filled. It's an ongoing activity. Every day we have the opportunity to be filled with the presence of the living God. That is an awesome opportunity available to us. When we look at the baptism of the Holy Spirit in the Bible, it seems to record people coming to two complementary places in their heart. Two places in their heart that kind of go together. And I want to talk about them for a moment. The first thing, that is so sweet. The first thing is, what is the first thing again?
Yeah, totally lost it.
Oh yeah, okay, I got it. The first thing is surrender. Surrender. And the second is this, to have an inexpressible longing for God. So those are the two things that seem to be there in Scripture every time you see accounts of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. First, a person who is surrendered to God, and a person who has a longing for God, one that's almost inexpressible. And those two things seem to be characteristic whenever the baptism of the Holy Spirit is in play. And I have to say, and you guys could, I'm sure, testify to that yourself in your life, but when I experienced that spirit baptism in that way, that immersion, that submersion in the Spirit's presence the first time, it was at a point in my life where I was more surrendered to God, and I was hungry for Him, and I was longing for Him. And this seems to be the case in the Scripture. That basically people are saying yes to whatever God wants for them, and they're asking for the gift with a capital G, which is the Holy Spirit, that Jesus promised. And it's really that simple. It's, excuse me, it's not a complicated thing. We don't have to have a head full of theological knowledge. We just have to have a heart that says, I'm surrendered to you, God, and I'm longing for you. And those two postures of the heart always seem to set the stage for the baptism of the Spirit, for the immersion in God's presence in Scripture. Surrender to God and longing for God always seem to precipitate a powerful encounter with God. Think about what happened to the 120 disciples in Jerusalem. They were gathered in the upper room prior to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. They were in a place, if you read the text, where they were submitted to the Lord and His command. Because Jesus said to them, wait. You know, when Jesus left, they could have gone overboard and started getting active. They could have engaged in activism and said, we need to do this, we need to do that. But Jesus said to them, no, go and wait. Don't do anything. Wait. Posture yourself in surrender and wait for the gift that my Father has promised. And they were in a place of surrender. But they were also in a place of intense longing for that which Jesus had promised to them. They were waiting with an expectancy that God would fulfill what He promised to them through His Son. And the Holy Spirit came, and they were baptized. They had an experience of God's presence like they had not had, as Jesus promised they would. If you and I want to experience the presence and power of God, we need to surrender to Him, and we need to cultivate in our heart a longing for Him. You remember what Jesus said in another place? It's not in my notes. It's just come to me now. It's like, ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. There is something we have to do. Ask, seek, knock. But the promise is that God will be faithful when we do. When it comes to the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the issue is not where we are. You could be here. You could be at home. You could be at work. You could be in your car. You could be out for a walk. The issue is our heart. You know, there's some great, great people that have shared testimonies in the history of the church about the Spirit's baptism in their lives. And as I was putting this message together, I really didn't do any research on these guys just because I've done a lot in the past, but these names just came to my mind. Charles Finney. I think he was going to be a lawyer, or he was. Nothing wrong with being a lawyer, by the way. Steve's not here this morning, but he knows that. We love, bless him. But God called him, and when he had, he was outside too. He wasn't in a church building when this happened. I think he was out in the countryside or something, if I remember correctly. But all I do remember is his description of being bathed in the presence of God. He used this phrase, liquid waves of love. That is how Charles Finney described his baptism, his immersion in the power of God's presence. And he went on to be one of the most incredible evangelists in the history of the church. But he described it as liquid waves of love that just kept coming when he was immersed in God's presence. Go back even further. Charles wrote the hymns. John Wesley described his immersion in the Spirit this way. He said, this is the phrase he used. He said, my heart was strangely warmed. Now, the English are into understatement. That was an understatement. Because what happened to him was absolutely revolutionary. It changed his life. John Wesley, you know, was involved in revivals throughout Britain and then came over here, was engaged in revival here. My heart was strangely warmed by God's presence. Finney said, liquid waves of love just flowed through me, over me. If you read of D.L. Moody, who was another great evangelist, talking about the experience that he had when the love of God and God's presence just overwhelmed him.